Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. On Monday, Senator Patrick Leahy officially announced he would not seek re-election. He was first elected into the Senate in 1974 and is currently the longest-serving U.S. senator still serving. Throughout his career, there's always been someone who he credits as helping him be the senator and the person he is today, and that's his wife, Marcelle Leahy. Now, today is such a treat because we have both of them live to answer your questions and hear your thoughts. Senator Leahy, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Well, thank you, and it was great being home last week in Vermont. I got a note from my sister Mary, who lives in Marshfield, and she told me there was a bright, clear, beautiful day. She could see the snow on Campbell's Hump, and it made both Marcel and I feel homesick.
And I also want to welcome Mrs. Leahy to the show. Mrs. Leahy, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, I just want to, for the record, I just want to know, I know a lot of people call you Marcel. Do you prefer to be called Mrs. Leahy or Marcel?
Oh, I really like the Marcel, yes.
Okay, I'll stick with that. My mom would be mortified if I didn't ask before I called you by your first name.
I always like to say that although she's no longer with us, Mrs. Leahy is Patrick's mother.
Okay. Well, Marcel, I'm going to switch things up a little bit, and I'm going to ask you, Marcel, what went in the decision to have Senator Leahy not seek re-election?
Oh, my goodness. Lots of conversations. And it's never just one thing, but I think that he's been here for a long time. It's 47 years. It'll be 48 years when his term is complete. And I think it's important for your state and for the U.S. Senate that he retire while he's still at the top of his game. And I know I'm biased, but I think he's really at the top of his game.
Listeners, right now we are speaking with Senator Patrick Leahy and his wife, Marcel. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-639-2211. Now, Senator Leahy, I want to ask you, how difficult of a decision was it to make? How difficult was this decision for you?
Well, Marcel and I discussed it with our whole family. We discussed it with each other. She's my closest advisor, and we've gone through all these things together, and long walks across at our farm in Middlesex and through the fields and the woods, and just decided, as she said, I want to leave at the top of my game. It's been an interesting time, being third in line to the presidency as president pro tem is something, although I have said that I have always prayed for the safety of the president. Now I pray twice as hard. I look at the opportunities I've had. One, to the almost improbable election for a 33-year-old to announce for the Senate and then get elected the only Democrat ever in Vermont's history, and since the 17th Amendment, the only person under 50 to be elected. But I considered that an honor, not a personal thing, something that meant that I had a commitment to Vermont and to Vermont values. And being there for as long as I have, it gave me a chance to be chairman of agriculture, chairman of judiciary, now chairman of appropriations. But to be involved in all the issues that not only affect Vermont, but can have an effect worldwide. And I've enjoyed working with Republicans and Democrats in the Senate, with presidents from President Gerald Ford straight through to President Biden. And I would not turn back a second of the time I've been here. But I'm also looking forward to the fact that Marcel and I can have time on our own schedule.
Now, Senator Leahy, I think a lot of people are curious to know Who, like, what kind of person would you like to see replace you?
Well, I want somebody who really cares about Vermont, and I know that's going to be possible. We're the second smallest state in the union, and it gives whoever's a senator has a unique opportunity to be involved with it. I look at things I was able to do, my support for the Equal Pay Act, for the Violence Against Women Act. Marcel and I do the Vermont Women's Economic Opportunity Conference. I think we've done now for about 25 years. And I see that and how it has helped women get jobs in Vermont. So I would not be egotistical enough to assume I can tell Vermont who they should elect. I trust them for doing that. Vermonters are wise. They're engaged in our state and our country. I remember when I first ran for the Senate, there were those who tried to tell my fellow Vermonters who they should elect. Well, Marcel and I found going around the state, we would talk to those Vermonters and knew they'd make up their mind.
Now, Marcel, I want to ask you, how has campaigning next to your husband changed over the years?
I'm not too sure that it has changed. I know that everybody reacts to it in a different way. When Patrick started his campaign, everyone told me that campaigning was grueling and that I would hate it. It was grueling, but I actually loved it. It was such an opportunity to go with him and to learn. Every day it was something new, and it was such an incredible learning experience and a chance to represent my state, whether I was in Vermont or going around the world, really, on some of the travels that we took. Of course, going around the world wasn't campaigning, but it's been an incredible opportunity and honor.
And what have you learned about Vermont that you didn't know before, that you, because you have the luxury and the experience of going around the state and seeing people maybe differently than your husband does because you're a little bit more behind the scenes?
People are just the same, regardless of what they do. People all have their own issues, make a living, support their families, their health care. Rich or poor, we all have these challenges in different ways. And it's, we're all human beings. I think my life as a registered nurse has made me very supportive and empathetic of the people I come in contact with, and it translated beautifully into campaigning.
Let's go to Lois in Walden. Lois, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's actually Lewis.
Oh, Lewis, sorry.
So, absolute kudos to the senator for his tremendous service over the years. I'm wondering if he might speak to what he thinks about term limits. That's a long time to have spent have served as long as he has, and I'm wondering how he feels about that. How do you feel about term limits and about your own tenure? What are your thoughts?
Well, I've always felt there's a term limit every 6 years when voters could determine whether they wanted to keep me here. I remember some who thought it was an accident that I was elected the first time, said I'd only be here for that one term. They've reelected me, but that's a decision Republicans and Democrats in my state make, as they do in every state. I know when you speak of term limits, I've served with around 400 senators since I came there. Some were there for a very short time. Some were there for a long time. Those who were there longer tended to build up the seniority where they could do more for their state than others. If you're going to have term limits, they have to be for everybody. I know most administrations, Republican and Democratic, wish that they had short-term senators because then they could run roughshod over everything and run roughshod over the states. And because they have to have senators who've been there for a while, have the seniority, they can be a voice no matter what the administration is and say, hey, here's what we care about in our state, and you have to consider it. And that, most presidents have told me, that is something that they listen to.
Now let's go to Jerry in Barnett. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Senator, I wanted to thank you for your humanitarian work and specifically the help that you gave us when we started the Tibetan Resettlement Project in Burlington. Your office was extremely helpful. We had one of the applicants for the program who died in India, and his wife had so much wanted to come with her two children and start a new life in America. Thanks to your office, she got a humanitarian parole, and the whole project was a success. And I remember you attended the closing ceremony with Marcel at the Oak Ledge Park. So on behalf of the entire Tibetan community in Vermont, in Burlington, wanted to thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, the men and women in my office, especially in my Vermont office, who have worked on it, they've always felt so good about the people they've been able to help. And your community has been so gracious in reaching out to us. And when you speak of Tibet, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, has told both Marcel and myself how much this means to him. You know, Marcel's parents emigrated to Vermont from Canada, from the French-speaking part of Canada. She was born in Vermont. My grandparents and great-grandparents emigrated to Vermont from Ireland and from Italy. And I've always looked at the fact that the more people come into our state, the better state we have. And I can't tell you how much it has meant to both Marcel and myself when we've been with you and we've been greeted and just feel the affection. But we also have the affection of, these are people coming to making our state and our country better.
Now let's go to Waterville. Tim Burgess, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, Senator. Hello, Mrs. Leahy or Marcel. I just wanted to call and say that, Senator, you had endorsed me when I ran for office. I think you know my mom and dad, John and Virginia. I think the saddest thing about today is that our mutual friend John Finn is not here to say goodbye. So,
well, thank you. I remember campaigning in St. Albans with John, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to follow the sheriff around. He seems to know, he knew everybody, and you know, like your family, and it was those personal connections. And that made such a difference. This is the beauty of Vermont. I mean, Marcel and I will go in the grocery store. People come up, hi, Pat. Hi, Marcel. How are you doing? Or we're coming out of church. And they'll say, hey, my cousin saw you at such a place. And that means so much. I don't think senators from some of the very large states have any idea what it's like to have that kind of connection with the people you're working for.
Marcel, I want to ask you, how do you keep your own personal identity, not only as a woman, but as a wife and a mom, and as somebody who's married to a powerful U.S. senator?
That has been issues, an issue for me at times. And when I was at one point, I was dealing with taking care of my mother, who was at the end of her life, and teenage children, all of that. And I ended up going back to work. And it was a very fulfilling time for me to be able to go back to the hospital and do patient care. It really was the thing that was so important in my life. I've always wanted, as a young person, I hope to someday have the joy of being married and having children. But also, I always wanted to be a nurse, and I was so glad to have that opportunity to fulfill that part of my life. I feel like I've won megabucks.
Listeners, we are speaking. Go ahead.
I find even now times if I'm up there without Marcel, I'll come in and they'll say, oh, good to see you. Where's Marcel? And I think I poll, so she's the most popular person in the state. They'll ask where she is. It's also interesting in the, I know our early times, we had a very large French-speaking population, especially in northern Vermont. And they come to me and say, hello, and nicely, and then turn immediately to Marcel in rapid-fire French. The two of them would be going on, and she'd be responding in French, and they'd walk off and say, yeah, he's all right because she's one of us.
And, Senator, how do you balance family life and your political life? I mean, it's no secret that you are always referencing your wife, Marcel, but how else are you about finding the balance?
Well, we have three children. We have five wonderful grandchildren. We try to spend time with them. Trust me, if they think that I'm acting too important or I've made some mistake, they'll be the first ones to tell me. And we have times where we're having a meal together. The roars of laughter that come from there, especially if they want to tease me, is wonderful. My sister Mary, we see her in Vermont, we're there, and she might say, oh, Patrick, you did this okay, but, and here's what I've heard, and that's wonderful. You know, because we're such a small state, when everybody knows you, you hear for them. I probably shouldn't advertise this, but we've always had a listed home phone number. I don't know how many senators in the country could say that. So people can feel free to come up to us. But they also, I found that when I'm with the family and all, people tend to say, okay, leave them alone. They deserve that time to be real people. And our home in Middlesex, or the acres of fields and woods and all, the fact we can just go walk in there and kind of be by ourselves, people respect that. I think when Marcel and I can walk hand in hand along the Lake Champlain, along the bike path, it's just you don't think of the Senate or all the structure there. You just think of, are we lucky to be here? Aren't we lucky to be with each other? And that makes a difference. But I also, in hearing from people, it also makes a difference. I'll tell you one story. I'd worked to try with the Leahy War Victims Fund after the war in Vietnam to bring help there and to try to restore our relations. And with the work on landmines and war victims, we went there. I led a congressional delegation, Republicans and Democratic senators. I'll never forget the day meeting outside of Saigon. We're giving wheelchairs to people who lost their legs usually from U.S. munitions. And they've been crawling without able to get around very easily for years. I was being introduced as a person who brought this program, and there was a very small man. I'm sure he's looking at me, you know, I'm well over 6 feet tall, over 200 pounds, and he's thinking, he's just staring at me. And I think he must hate me. And they said, would you pick him up and put him in the wheelchair? And Marcel, being the nurse that she has, explained how I could pick him up without hurting him. So I did. I put him in the wheelchair. I started to get up. He grabbed my shirt, and he pulled me down and kissed me. And I thought, you know, I've worked with everybody from the President of the United States to lead Republicans and Democrats in the Senate to get this program through. And I thought, man, every so often you do something worthwhile.
Let's go to David in Richmond. David, you're online with the senator and his wife.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Leahy. What an honor to speak with you. I first moved to Vermont in 1974, so you've been all part of my life since then, and thank you. What I'd like to speak about is tribalism and why we Americans can't seem to speak with each other anymore or find things that we agree on instead of disagree, whether it's in school board meetings or whether it's in the halls of Congress. There just isn't a tendency for people to find common ground and compromise. And I blame most of it on the lies that we hear from social and broadcast media. And I'm wondering if the FCC or legislation can be crafted so that it compels people to tell the truth.
Yeah, I worry about the divisiveness. I think it also requires many of us in public life to think about the fact that not everybody thinks the way any one of us might do, and we should be reach out more to people. I've had several Republican senators since my announcement come up to me and tell me how much they're going to hate having me leave, because we could sit down, especially quietly in my, I have an office in the Capitol, and as President Pro Tem, it's very available where people can come and meet privately, and we can talk about things without having to worry that somebody's going to say, why did you say this? A number of them have asked me when we could travel again, because I've always include an equal number of Republicans and Democrats on trips I've led in different parts of the world, whether it's to a landmine field, a refugee area, or a international conference. And we've got to get back to that. This idea that you can't talk to somebody if they have a different political view, I think it's a bad mistake. It's damaged the United States Senate. It's damaged the House of Representatives. It's damaging the country when you have the people saying, well, there was the election wasn't fair and honest. Well, we know it was. And we just as it is in Vermont. I think people have got to start speaking the truth, but you've also got to start being able to sit down and talk with each other. I wish I could give you an easy answer, but nothing has troubled me more in this country than to see that kind of polarization. Now, we are a wonderful nation. We have some of the best men and women anywhere. I look at the generation coming up. They should have the freedom to express views they want to with each other, but also the ability to learn things that are true. And I think some of these groups that just make up their own facts, and but they make money out of spewing them. That's doing a disservice to this country. We have to look at everything from an educational system on. But those in public office, I think, have a responsibility to the public more than they do to an ideology or even a political party.
Let's go to Ellen in Marshfield. Ellen, you're on the line with the senator and his wife.
Well, first of all, thank you, Senator Leahy and Marcel, for your magnificent service to our country and our state. My question is a little related to what you were just talking about. I wondered how much the current contentious political climate, how much of a role that might have been, how much a factor that might have been in your decision. And then the second part of the question is, what are your thoughts about the state of our tenuous, some people would say, state of our democracy right now?
Well, the last part, I worry very much, because in a nation of 325 million people, if we don't hold to our principles of democracy, we all lose. We are the longest currently existing democracy, and we should value that, and we should understand that it's a democracy that's allowed diversity in thought and actions. So that is extremely important. I am concerned about some of the things that happened. I am pleased I'm still able to form bipartisan coalitions. It's been very successful in getting legislation through. I worked very, very hard with Governor Scott during all the COVID matters, and was able to do that and bring a lot of money to Vermont that wouldn't have had otherwise. But because I was able to put up a bipartisan coalition in the Senate, in the Appropriations Committee, and work closely with a Republican governor. And so I have hopes there. This did not affect my decision to leave. The decision was one of time, and Marcel and I want time to be together and at home. But we can do some things, like the infrastructure bill that just passed. Senator Shelby is the vice chairman of appropriations, conservative Republican. I'm considered a liberal Democrat. We worked hand in hand to get that bill passed. And now it's going to be one of the greatest things for the United States to pair our ancient bridges and roads and waterways and so forth. I think President Biden was right. It's the greatest significant investment in the infrastructure in our country since President Eisenhower and the Interstate Highway.
You mentioned the infrastructure bill, so now we're going to go to Montpelier, where Steve is on the line. Steve, you are speaking with the senator and his wife, Marcel.
Thank you, Senator and Mrs. Leahy, for your long and committed service. When I saw you last in person on the sidewalk in Montpelier, I told you about FirstNet being created in 2012 and being exempt from the Freedom of Information Act after litigation up through the appellate court in New York City, the Second Circuit. Your response was no one should be exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. Now I call to your attention three or four exemptions that are built into the infrastructure bill that just passed of the Administrative Procedures Act, which includes FOIA, or the Freedom of Information Act, the Paperwork Reduction Act, the Privacy Act. And this bill is riddled with transparency problems, and I'm wondering what can be done about it at this late date. Would you commit to trying to pass legislation to remove those exemptions?
I have worked in a bipartisan way, as you know, over the years to make FOIA more active. both in Republican and Democratic administrations. I'm committed to do that. I make inquiries from my Senate office all the time of administrations, both Republicans and Democratic, and I usually get the responses. Certainly, well, I've been very clear that I've always been opposed to exemptions in FOIA. It's interesting enough, I'm usually joined in that by a conservative Republican from Texas, John Cornyn. And we have opened up FOIA far more than it would have been without our work. But it's a constant struggle. No matter what, whether it's a Democratic or Republican administration, there's always an inclination to secrecy and being able to have Republican support, whether it's a Democratic or Republican administration, means that we can win many of our efforts to breach that secrecy. Probably never win them all, but we win a lot more than we would otherwise.
Now let's go to Liz in Middlebury. Liz, you're on the line with Senator Leahy and his wife, Marcel.
Great. Hi, Senator Leahy. This is Liz. I now live in Middlebury. I used to live in Marshfield, and I know your sister well. I'm calling because of my sister, who you know well, and you worked well a long time with her, Diana Wynne Levine. And it was her case that went to the United States Supreme Court. I'm always shocked that people in Vermont don't know that, because that was when President Bush was trying to use her case to make it illegal to be able to sue a drug company for faults. So luckily she won, and everybody has a Seventh Amendment right to a jury. But now you can't get a prescription that is not that you can only get generics now. And you and my sister were working together very hard on getting, because generics are covered by the FDA label, you were very involved in trying to get it so that generics could also, that we could be protected against any generic, which we aren't right now. So I was just wondering, you know, if you're retiring, what is the forward momentum of that issue? Because it's pretty important.
Well, there are a whole lot of issues. That is an important issue, I agree. And there are many others. What I've been doing is meeting quietly with a number of senators in both parties who are going to be here after I leave, and encouraging them to continue some of the fights that are important to me. So far, I've been very pleased with the response I've been getting. And I just made a note to myself right now that this is one I will also raise.
Marcel, I want to ask you, we all know Senator Patrick Leahy as Vermont Senator, but you obviously know him in a much different context. So I'm curious, like, what do you love most about your husband when it, you know, and like, what are you most proud of?
You want me to step out of the room, Marcel?
How much time do we have? Oh, dear. That is a really difficult question, and no one's ever asked me that one. But it's his humanity, whether it is with a total stranger or someone that he's married to or related to. There's so many things about him personally. Almost 60 years of marriage, and we're still good friends. I guess that sort of attests to it. But it's the way all of that relates to the legislation that he's been involved in. So much of it is humanitarian as well. And whether it's for for Vermonters and their well-being, or for people around the world, like the issues that he's been involved with in Vietnam. And he's been closer to home in Haiti. There's so many things. I just find it a little difficult to narrow it down.
Super fair. And then I'll go to you, Senator Leahy. What do you want your legacy to be as you are winding down to this last year of being in the Senate? What do you want the legacy of you to be?
I want it to be that I stuck to Vermont values, true Vermont values, all the way through, whether it's creating jobs in the United States and in Vermont, preserving our natural environment in Vermont, feeding people who would not be fed otherwise, and what I did worldwide to bring true American values, whether in refugee camps or areas struck by disaster, to say, here, America is good. I want to show you what is best of America. And in that, I go back to what Marcel and I have learned together, what we learned from our parents and our grandparents. And I realize that's a broad way of answering, but I want to leave with people saying, job well done.
Well, on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for your service, and thank you so much for coming on the show. That's Senator Patrick Leahy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed being here with you.
Thank you. And Marcel, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. I did too.